Cool.
Well, if you were not here last week, I encourage you to get on the computer and check out the sermon that Pastor Ryan gave. It was awesome. He's so good, and he's just awesome. I love that. I love his heart. We are blessed to have Pastor Ryan and Alicia leading our youth and everything else they do. But he brought a message called Putting the Goodness of God on Display. And I was challenged by his message. Because if you think about putting the goodness of God on display, that shouldn't be difficult. Because we serve a good God. Right? It's not like we're dressing up a pig and trying to get excited about it. We're talking about putting the creator of the universe on display. We're talking about the one who can change everything in your life, making him look good. Can I just tell you, he does a pretty good job on his own of making himself look good, right? That's the truth. But he's called us as his people to be ones that are representing and can tell the world how good our God is. And tell you, what an easy sell, right? I'm not a salesman, but what an easy sell. Because he's changed my life. Okay, we're talking about a God who is worthy to be praised. Amen? We're talking about a God who not only, I said this last week, who owns the hills and owns the cattle on the hills. That's the guy that we got to make look good this morning. We're talking about the God who is good and the God who is mighty. We're talking about the God who can take any broken situation and any broken heart and absolutely turn it around and change it. Okay, that's the type of God that we get to put on display this morning. That's the mighty God that I serve, right? That's the God that I wake up every day and say, God, you've given me another day on this earth. How do I get to be used for you? It is fun to be used by the Lord. Amen? Yeah. So if you can say, I don't know, Pastor Justin, I'll say amen just to get you off my back. But if you don't believe that this morning, I believe by the end of the service, I want you to believe that in your heart because he is worthy to be praised. And the word also goes on and it says that he's the one that restores our joy. Come on, how many of you need some joy restored in your life? Right? There's moments where I need that joy to be restored in my own life. We're talking about the God who never leaves you or forsakes you. Come on, if you feel forgotten about this morning, I believe you're going to encounter the God who hasn't forgotten about you. Amen? And here's what I love about the message last week. Listen to the message when you go home. We're going to go online, but I'm going to give you the recap because that's what I do of what he said. But he said a lot, but this is my takeaway from it. This might not be your takeaway. This is my takeaway. My life, the way we live my life, my actions, my lifestyle gets to boast. You see that word boast? Okay, the Bible tells us not to boast except for to boast in what? The Lord, right? So our lives get to boast and show the world how great our God is. Okay, that's my takeaway from his message. Not by how many good things I do, because I'm supposed to do those good things, but the way I live my life gets to boast how good my God is. And so I'm a pretty literal person. My son is more literal than I am, and I look at him sometimes and I'm like, where did you get this being so literal with everything? Not his mother, right? His father. But if I take this away, it tells me just by me living my life and walking in newness of life, just by applying those things of who God is and those principles, it's going to showcase who God is to those who don't know God. And I'm challenged by that because every day, I have opportunities to showcase the Lord. Think about it. You're like, what do you mean showcase the Lord? By me living my life, I'm showcasing something. Right? By us walking through the lives that God's called us to walk through, we're going to showcase something. Might as well showcase the one who's worthy of our praise. The one who is mighty, right? The one who can heal your heart. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. But as we walk in kingdom living, which Pastor Ryan talked about last week, you will shine and stand out in the world that you live in. Just by walking in those things, you will stand out. Pastor Ryan last week talked about God's plan for his nation of Israel. And his plan for his nation was to use them to showcase who he was as a God, that he was different than any other God. Okay, and I believe the plan is the same for us today, that God wants to use those who have been touched, who have been changed, who have been radically encountered by this God to showcase that to those who haven't encountered him. Okay, and I believe that he desires that we would be a people that cause people to be in awe of who he is. Okay, think about that for a moment. Again, I'm pretty literal, so to me it's pretty simple. And if I'm just going to cut to the chase, I'm going to do it anyways. But I would say this, and don't get mad at me. And hear me out, okay? You can get mad at me, just don't throw anything at me. Okay, it's pretty simple. And this is what I was challenged on this week. Either people will notice that we're different, or they won't. Right? Either people are going to have an encounter with us and say, there's something different. I didn't say weird, okay? Because you all are weird, and I am weird, okay? We can be weird, but either people will notice that you are different, or they won't. Okay? There is no in-between. There is no in-between when it comes to the Lord. Either when I encounter people that are out in the community, when I encounter people in here, they're either going to say there's something different about me or they're not going to say it. Okay, either I will stick out and be attractive or I'm going to blend in and be ordinary. Okay, think about it for a minute. I don't know why the Lord does this in my life, but whenever I'm preaching a sermon, every single time without fail, something happens in my week that reaffirms the message that God wants to speak. And it kind of bugs me. Can I just be that honest? Because I don't want to be tested in certain areas. Because it's really easy for me as a pastor to say, hey, your life needs to be different, and people need to notice that you're different. But I need to have my life be different. And people need to either notice that I'm different or not. A lot of you know this about me, but I'm pretty competitive. I stopped playing recreational volleyball like at church camps because I can't handle my competitive nature. So I watch now. I have kids that play sports, and I like to coach my kids in sports. And I like to win when we play sports. I hope there's nothing wrong with that. And I find myself, I coach football. I coached high school football for like 6 years, and now I'm coaching sixth grade football. It's a little different. But the competitive nature of a coach on a sideline, it doesn't matter if they're high school or like flag football, one-year-old, I don't care what it is. If I'm on the sidelines and there's like a competition going on, I'm all in, right? I am all in, passionate, and just into it. And my first coaching experience was with a Christian school. And I had to really be careful because we're a Christian school and we're supposed to be different. And I kind of got really wild on the sidelines a lot. And I got yelled at, and it wasn't good. And I thought, man, that probably shouldn't be good. But now I'm coaching for a secular team with secular coaches. And it's very easy to blend right in when you're yelling at a striped official. It's very easy to yell the same things that other guys are yelling because I'm competitive. And I was reminded this week that either people will notice that I am different or they won't. Because the title of my message today is called Aware to Honor. Aware to Honor. We're called to live our lives that honor one another, that honor the Lord, that honor whoever we come into contact with. Right? And this morning, I want us to be aware to live lives that are worthy of honor. I hear a lot of people say over the years things like, it doesn't matter what people think of me as long as I know what God thinks of me. And I say yes and amen to that. Okay? It doesn't matter what people think of you as long as you know what God thinks of you. But I want to say this morning, but the way you live your life on this earth matters. The way you live your life on this earth matters. The way you live, relate, act, react. How about that one? Act and react, because we all react. React to those around us has everything to do with the kingdom of God and how we view God. Everything to do with how you view God and the way that you act, live, and react. You know, there's a scripture in Romans 14, and it says this, and I'm going to read the Message version, but it says, now the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. And I've heard that scripture preached a lot of different ways, and people take different their own views on it, but I want to read it out of the Message because I believe it speaks to the heart of what I want to say today, and it says this, that God's kingdom doesn't matter so much of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sake. Right, you got to love the Message. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right. Come on your way to being set right, it's what God does with your life. He puts it together and completes it with joy. Your task is to single-mindedly serve Christ. Do that, and you'll kill two birds with a stone, pleasing the God above, and proving value to the people around you. I think it's time that people start turning to the Lord because of the difference that they see in you and in I. Amen? By the way we live our lives. I was reminded this week, because again, if we have newness of life, then what should be a byproduct of that? Righteousness, peace, joy, good fruit, not stinky fruit, right? You know what I'm talking about. Okay, in Acts 4:13, it says this. It says, now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that these men had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So here we've got two disciples of Jesus who were ordinary, common, unlearned, uneducated. But it says people could tell they had been with Jesus. They were different because of who they were with. And they couldn't argue. They had nothing to say in opposition to the men that got healed. Why? Because of the fruit, because of the Holy Spirit, because of what the Holy Spirit did in their life. I want to say this morning, that people cannot deny a changed life. They can deny what you say. They can deny what they hear. They can deny what they think they've heard. They cannot deny a changed life. Meaning a life that has been transformed. They have nothing to say. You want to stop the accuser that's around you? Then let your life have good fruit come out of it. Right? Let your life have good fruit come out of it. So, back to my football story. We had a football game yesterday. And there was a lot of yelling going on. A lot of yelling from this voice going on. Hallelujah. Right? There is more yelling from the other six coaches that coach with us. And it was not good yelling. And I kind of was just like, man, this is not good. And at halftime, our head coach said, we're one yell away from being disqualified today. Okay. And so he pulled us aside, and then I'm at halftime, and the referee looks at me, and he goes, come here. So I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get singled out because he heard me. And I go out there, and we're by the sidelines, and he walks me to the middle of the field. And I've never met this guy before, and he goes, I know who you are. I know who you are. And I was like, who's that, you know? What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. And he goes, I know you're a pastor in Maple Valley. Ah! And I said, yeah, I am. And he said, you're the only one that's different over there. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I thought I was yelling. He goes, I heard you yelling. He goes, but I want you to know that you stick out here. Preach, okay? And I thought, either people, and again, that's never happened in my life before. Please hear me. It's not like people are like, oh, look at you, you're different. That was the first time that someone said, you're different. First time for everything. But he said, even in the midst of you being competitive, I want you to know, you stick out here. You stick out. You're different. And I, as soon as someone on the sidelines, because the referee went to the heads of the football group and said, I'm about ready to disqualify your team. And they said, the only one that would stay on is that guy. And the guy said, oh, because he's a pastor. That's why he's good. Because he's a pastor. No. No. Because I try to honor those who I come into contact with, including white-striped officials. Right? Oh, it's because he's a pastor. No, it's because I have a relationship with Jesus. This time, it went good, right? Doesn't go good every time because I'm in process. But I was challenged by that as I had already had my message preached. This happened yesterday. And I thought either people will see a difference or they won't. And I hope they do next week when I have another opportunity. But Pastor Ryan said it last week. Do people look at my life and say, wow, God is real? Man, it's a challenge to me because I could say, oh, no, I'm just competitive. Oh, no, I'm just Italian. That's why I'm passionate. Oh, no, I just want to see my kids win. No, I mean, those are my excuses for maybe allowing certain behaviors in my life to not go on. We talk about being aware as a church. The last 4 weeks, we've talked about being aware of the surroundings that we have around us on a daily basis. Pastor Ryan, last week, he talked about being aware. One of the greatest points about being aware is that we need to be aware that we are walking with the ability to attract people and see them one for the kingdom of God. Do we realize the power that we have inside of us? That as we go out and do our life, that we can stand out. Because you have it within you. Amen? You have it within you. Pastor Ryan talked in 1 Kings last week, and he talked about Queen Sheba. And a secular queen, was going to King Solomon, who represented God's people. And she was going there, and it says in 1 Kings that she was going and she had some tough questions to ask the king. She'd heard stories about his kingdom. She'd heard about his fame, and she went there to see if it was real, if it was really what it was cracked up to be. And the atmosphere and the people that she encountered exceeded her expectation. And I think it's no different for us today. Man, I'm really not doing good. I'm on page 2 of my notes. But it says that she was blown away by what she saw as she encountered people who had a relationship with God. And I thought, man, what kind of taste do we leave? What kind of taste do I leave when people encounter me? My heart's desire is that people feel encouraged, people feel blessed, people feel special when they encounter me. Why? Because they are. And because I am, and because I serve a God that thinks they're special. I want people to feel when they encounter me, I'm just talking for me, I'm not even talking about the church necessarily. I want when people encounter me, them to say, he's passionate about his God and he's passionate about other people. Now this message and the message that Pastor Ryan talked about last week is more than a message of hospitality. Because I think it'd be very easy for us to say, oh, that's just being a good host. You know, just putting on your game face for an hour. No. The message that Pastor Ryan spoke last week was a message of passion for those who don't know of Jesus Christ. Because we have that opportunity to show them. I believe that we are called his people. Right, and out of passion for him and compassion for others, I believe God's heart is that they will feel so valued and so honored in our presence that they will want to know about who our God is. Okay, that's what I believe to the core of who I am. You know, again, it's not just about nice things and, you know, a perfectly picked up house. Well, if I'm going to have people over, my house needs to be clean or our church needs to be perfect before I invite someone. No, that's not the heart. Okay, I like having a clean house sometimes too. But it's not about those external things. But it's the way that we act, the way we react, and the way we interact with people that will show them they're valued, that will show them they're loved, and that they're important to the Father heart of God. Right, people matter to God, and they should matter to us. So Queen Sheba came with tough questions, and I think it's same for us today that people come to Christians with their tough questions. Right, it might not be in the form of a question; it might be in the form of an opinion. Right, but they come. You're a Christian? I'm gonna poke you. I'm going to see if you're really a Christian. I have my doubts about you. Come on, when was the last time you talked to someone that didn't have a relationship with God? I had a man that I talked to, and he said, the church only wants your money and your time and to brainwash you. Okay. But he had his idea, and he still does. He has his doubts. Are you really real? Come on, they get excited when they hear of a Christian have a moral failure. I knew it wasn't real. I knew it was a facade. Most people who don't know God have their ideas of what they think a Christian is. They have an idea of what they think church should be. And they're out to prove you wrong. We got to know that. My challenge for us today is to show them that you've been with Jesus. Come on, just like it was said in Acts, they could tell that these men had been with Jesus. So I want to look for the remainder of our time of the life of Jesus, because if you spend any time looking at Jesus' life, you find a couple themes. One of the themes you find is whenever his disciples were eating, two or three times they said, "Where's Jesus?" And Jesus was out ministering. Jesus was out healing. Jesus was out loving on people, making an investment in people's life. And so I want to turn to John 13, and I want to read 15 scriptures for you this morning. So turn in your Bibles with me. I have it on the overhead. It says this: "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he rose from supper, he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Jesus said, 'What I'm doing, you don't understand right now, but afterwards you will.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' And Jesus said, 'If I don't wash you, you have no share with me.' And then Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.'" Right? Peter was a dude, right? He was an interesting fellow. "And Jesus said to Peter, 'The one who is bathed does not need to be washed except for his feet. And Peter, you're clean, but not every one of you.' For he knew who was about to betray him. That's why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.'" Verse 12, "When he washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place at the table, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I did to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you." Now, today's message isn't a message on doing more or a foot washing lesson, but this message is about the gospel. I think we've got to be aware of what Jesus did in this moment, because what he did in this moment was change the game for his disciples. Okay, to that moment, they had done things a certain way, and he said, "We're doing something different," right? So pay attention to what just happened. Right, what Jesus did was the ultimate symbol of service, humility, and truly love for another human. You know, this week as I was processing the message that Pastor Ryan brought and about Queen of Sheba and how this relates to us, and blown away about the atmosphere that he described, and I look at the heart that I see in the story of Jesus, and I say, that's the heart that he's after in all of us, is the heart that he wants to get in us that truly lays our life down for others, that is an attitude of humility, that it is a desire to show love for those who don't deserve it. Okay, that's the heart of the message last week. And I see it so exemplified in Jesus in this story. We got to understand a few things about foot washing, okay? It's not a foot washing lesson, but you're going to learn something. You need to learn this. It was very common for people to get their feet washed in that day. It wasn't like Jesus did this like, "Oh my gosh, he just washed their feet. I can't believe that. I've never seen that done before." No, it was common. It was so common. Instead of having like, doormats, thank you. Instead of having doormats at the door, they had water and towels. Okay, they didn't have just doormats. So it was common. It also was very common to have a dirty, dusty road because it was pre-asphalt days. Okay, it also was common to wear sandals without socks. Some of you that wear sandals with socks, you shouldn't. I'm not Mr. Fashion, but you just shouldn't, all right? But it was very common for them to wear sandals without socks. Because we have little kids and socks always disappear, it is very common for our two-year-old to wear shoes without socks. And it is not good when you take those off, because two-year-old feet smell just like, you know, 20-year-old feet. Okay, so it was very common for people to wash one another's feet. It was very common for people to wash their own feet. Okay, and this message isn't, well, Jesus was just such a great servant because the feet were nasty. They were probably no nasty than they were on any other day. But it wasn't the act of the foot washing that was the miracle that Jesus did. Because another thing we need to learn about foot washing is when you hosted people around your table and brought people in, hey, come over to my house, they were sharing a meal, okay, together. It was a common practice for the feet to be washed. And it was a known idea that it was an honor for the host to wash the feet. So when you opened your home for people to come in, not only did you create them a great meal and cook it and put all the little whatever they used to eat off of it, plates or whatever, it wasn't common just to host, but it also was an honor for you as the host to provide an opportunity for your guests to get their feet washed. Okay, think about that for a minute. It was like, hey, I get to host you, and we get to get your feet washed. Right? It's hard for me to even comprehend because it's so uncommon in our life today because we all wear shoes usually. Okay, so we don't need to, like, wash our feet as often. Okay, but it was an honor for the host to provide a way for their guests to have their feet washed. It was common to have it available. And it was usually that you would provide a servant or a son or daughter that would wash your guests' feet. So some of you kids that think you have it so bad, at least you don't have to wash like some dude's feet that are nasty. Okay, but it was common for that. And it was a mark of honor for you to provide that service. Think about that for a minute. It was a mark of honor that their feet were washed. That when you invited someone over, it was an honor for you to wash their feet. It was an honor to provide that service. And it was more of an honor if the host was the one that did the work, did the deed, right? Last week we talked a little bit about honor. And here's what I'm convinced about today is that 90% of the conflicts, 90% of our problems can be solved if we start looking through the lens of honor. Because I can look through the lens of what's right and what's wrong very easily. It's very easy for me to look through that lens. But the Lord says, I want you to look through the lens of but what is honorable. Because when we walk in a spirit of honor, we walk with the heart of God. When I go in there walking with the spirit of being right or being wrong, a lot of times the spirit of honor diminishes from my life. So instead of the question being, am I right or am I wrong, does this honor God? Does this honor others? You know, Romans 14, I mentioned it earlier, talks about eating meat or not eating meat, drinking or not drinking. The issue is honor. The issue is honor. Will you honor those around you, those that are different than you? Okay, the next thing we need to learn about foot washing, which you're getting a lesson, is it was considered a breach in your hospitality if you didn't provide someone to wash others' feet. It was considered a breach in your ability to be a host if you didn't provide that service. And I said in the last breath, but it was an honor to do so. So it's an honor to do it. But if you don't do it, you now have a breach in your ability to be a host. Okay, the word breach means the act of breaking or failing an agreement or code of conduct. There's a gap in a wall, a barrier or a defense that goes up. That's what breach means. So it was an honor to wash someone's feet, and if you didn't, the people took it as a breach. Meaning there was a reason you didn't wash their feet. Yeah, you were intentional to not wash their feet, right? They took it personal if you didn't. Think about that for a minute. So Jesus showed great honor, great humility, great service, and great love to his friends that night. And he bridged a gap where there could have been a breach. Again, we're not talking about washing each other's feet in the natural today. Okay, most of you wear shoes. But it's the attitude and the symbolism that Jesus did that night. Is he put himself in a place that says, I'm going to show honor to those that I'm with. I'm going to show honor and sit and have a meal with these 12 men who one of them in a matter of minutes is going to get out of here and turn me over to the soldiers. But I'm going to serve him food and I'm going to wash Judas's feet. I'm going to wash Peter's feet who in a matter of hours is going to deny me 3 times. Think about that. He knew it was going to happen and he still chose to honor. He knew he was going to be wronged. The honor that Jesus showed that night was an honor that wasn't based on conditions. I'm really good at honoring conditionally in my flesh, right? I can honor as long as the conditions are going to work out for me. I'm great at that. But am I great at honoring when it's unconditional? When there's no conditions? Or if the people are worthy of honor. Because Peter wasn't worthy of honor. Judas wasn't worthy to be honored. Because he denied Christ, right? He turned them over. But the heart of the Father says they're worthy of honor. And he looked past the mess to continue to honor them. Jesus continues to wash their feet, knowing that Judas is about to leave with the money. He knows he's about to get betrayed, but he trusted in the master plan. It goes on. And then in verse 34, he says this. He says, a new commandment I give to you. Did you catch that? A new commandment. Okay, something new. That you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for each other. So he goes on, and this is where we get the scripture and the saying, they will know you are Christians by your love. Okay, this is it. So he says, I'm giving you something new. And he's saying, hey, remember guys, I'm leaving in a matter of hours. They're going to take me. I'm going to get crucified. I'm not coming back. I want to show you how you're going to survive. I want to show you how you're supposed to carry on in my absence. That's what he's saying to them. And so I want to give you a new commandment. You must love one another. Now, this isn't the first time that they were told to love each other. But what's this new commandment he's talking about? I believe a lot of it is honor. Because he says in the scripture, if you continue to read, and if you read commentaries on it, that this new way is not based on how others treat you. This new way is not based on you getting everything right. This new way is based on what Jesus has already done for you. And so out of that, you honor. That's the new way. It's sacrificial. It's regardless of the outcome. The new way is to love each other's, to love each other as they're special, not because they deserve it, but because of the sacrificial love that Jesus has for you. We love, we honor. Why? Because we were first loved. I'm going to have the worship team come back this morning. We're gonna do things a little differently in the last, 10 minutes or whatever. Because I'm going to come back and I'm going to just share a few more things after we sing. But part of, and you guys can just play quietly. And Body, if you want to stand, that'd be cool. You probably want to stretch your legs out. But as we have been talking for the last 4 weeks about being aware, I hope you've paid attention. Because I believe it's what the Lord is calling his people in this time, in this season, to act and to walk out in. And this church. I'm praying this, that we, like the tribe of Issachar, would realize the season that we're living in as Christians. That we would be aware of the tension that exists out in our world. That we would have that understanding to know what's going on. Number two, that we would realize that we are called to reconcile all men to God. That we are called to be ones that are bridging those gaps from those who are far off. That we're in the business of bringing people together, not tearing them apart. Number three, that we would have a mindset that boasts of the goodness of our God because he's good. Realize that we as people have an opportunity to quench other people's questions by the way we live our lives. Come on, you can settle things in their heart about God by the way you live your life. And number four, that our lives would truly be lives lived and marked by honor. Not deserved honor or conditional honor, but this new way, right? This new sacrificial honor. That we would do that as Jesus did. And truly, like Jesus, that we would be known we are his by the way we love. So would you close your eyes? And Father, all over this place, Father, as we of a church have talked about being aware, Father, I pray that you would do a work in every heart that's here today. Father, that we would truly be aware of the people that you've placed in our life. Father, that we would realize, Father, that we as your sons and daughters have an opportunity to bridge gaps in our society. Father, I believe that you want to use the people in this room to speak to life issues in other people's hearts. Father, let us understand the season that we're living in. Father, let us be ones who gather, not scatter. Father, would we be marked by people of honor? Father, who can honor others and honor you. Father, would we be known as people that can honor their God because you're worthy of honor? Come on, let's sing together. And I